Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing well as we're halfway through the week. Had to remind myself that it's Wednesday, not Tuesday. But yo, what's going on, everybody? Hope you're all doing great. And you know what? I have a slight inkling that you might be doing great, because I sure as hell am, because the Yankees are. Three straight wins, and yesterday's coming in complete and total blowout fashion. 15-1 victory in Kansas City. We were live in the watch party, as we'll be live again tonight. And whether it be the team itself or just the fans, whatever it may be, us in life, who knows? We needed that win last night, Chad. A win to that style of just complete and total pure domination from the very first inning. And we're going to break all of that down, including also a conversation from one of the storylines to come with this game, which is Anthony Volpe, who now through 10 games has an 894 OPS since returning. We're going to touch on that and compare him to somebody who maybe, if we're going to look at it from a glass half full perspective, which is often what we do on this show, might be following a similar trajectory to another shortstop in baseball. We'll touch on that later on. Cam continues to shove. He maintains an MLB best 150 ERA, second lowest ERA by any Yankee pitcher through 12 starts since 1914. Incredible stuff. And we enter play today just 2.5 games behind the Rays for first place in the American League East. We got Cole pitching tonight. We'll break all of that down. As always, if you could, leave a like on the stream. Helps out a great deal. We're also available on podcasts. Speaking of podcasts, by the way, I totally took the L yesterday. I somehow neglected to upload the audio file on the podcast app. So apologies that it wasn't there yesterday. That won't happen again. But anyways, I think that does it for our housekeeping notes here, Chad. Let's get into yesterday's win, which, of course, started off, you know, the first two pitches of the game, Yankees got out on. It was a Grisham line at the center field, and then Judge grounded out on two pitches, two outs. And then you have Cody Bellinger with his second home run in back-to-back days, second home run this season, which is a second home run away from Yankee Stadium, that is, eighth overall on the year. So that's a good sign. He's starting to get going on the road a little bit. But from there, that's where things really started to get going. You had the Bellinger home run. All right, word up. 1-0 Yanks. Lead right away before Cam even throws a pitch. Sounds good to me. Well, then, of course, you have the rest of the inning, which Goldschmidt gets on. I forget exactly how that transpired, but this is how the rest of the inning transpired. And that was, of course, including the Bellinger home run and then the Ben Rice overturn. Ivan Rosario makes it a 4-0 game.
And he has his second homer on the road this season. Goodbye! Laced out to right, and it's 1-0 Yankees. And Rice laces that to right field, but it hangs up barely for Caglione. There's a chance this ball actually hit the ground. How about that? An RBI single for Ben Rice. The Yankees challenge that as Rosario lifts that in the air to left and deep. Thomas back, looking up, and that is long gone. The Yankees take advantage of the extra out. A four spot in the first with Rosario's two-run homer capping it.
So yeah, 4-0 in the first. Then from there, it was all Yankees. I know we all watched the game, so we won't break down everything entirely, but some interesting stats here. 24 hits they had last night. 15 runs and 24 hits. Those 24 hits, the most they've had in a road game since August 34th, 1974 at the White Sox. Most hits in a road game, the Yankees recorded last night, those 24 hits, most in a road game since August 31st, 1974. Another note, this one's incredible. All nine Yankee starters recorded at least... Where'd my microphone go? Or my camera? Hold on, let me throw myself in here really quick. But I'll continue with what I'm saying. All Yankee starters recorded at least two hits last night, which is the first time in franchise history that that has happened. Now, I'm pulling up some stats here. Shout out my guy Grayson over at Everything Yankees. Does a freaking great job, OG. And he shows here on his tweet, for those that are listening audio only, OPS updates from tonight. Because, you know, you had Grisham three hits. Judge continues to get back on track. Not that we were ever actually worried about him somewhere, but he has two hits. Bellinger, 2-for-5 with that home run. Goldschmidt goes 2-for-6. Then you got Rice, 3-for-5. Rosario, two homers. He's 4-for-6. Jazz entering like the sixth or the seventh inning, was the only Yankee starter that had not recorded a hit. He ends the night with two, ends up going deep with his sixth home run of the year. Volpe will touch on. He goes 3-for-6, first home run of the year. Wells even. You know it's a good night when Austin Wells goes 3-for-6. But anyways, OPS updates. Entering play last night and then after last night, Grisham bumped up from a 680 OPS to a 704 OPS. Judge, he's fine. We don't got to talk about that. Rice, 970 to 993, kind of the same deal. But you look at Amed Rosario, 4-for-6, the two homers. He goes from a 755 OPS, which is still a respectable season. He got that great start. And then the last couple weeks had been falling off a little bit. But he jumps from a 755 OPS to an 863 OPS, Rosario does. Volpe, again, who we have a whole topic dedicated to in a moment, he jumps up from a 720 OPS to an 894 OPS. Austin Wells improved his OPS 18 points, 560 to 578. That's still not great. But, yo, whether it be the guys that didn't need a boost or the guys who did, last night served many purposes. Of course, a feel-good win for the team, for the fan base. Also, going into yesterday, we talked about it on the watch party, the after taking game one, where the Volpe go-ahead two-run single, and it's like, all right, I don't go into series ever really saying you should sweep. Now, there's times where I do that, but just the nature of the game, it's baseball. Like, it's, you know, you could be far better, far superior to a team, and then, you know, lose a game. That's baseball. But after the first win, and then going into last night against the lefty, Bailey Falter, who had terrible numbers, and the Yankees have been raking lefties as of late. They'll face another one tonight, by the way. But it was, you took game one, you got Cam going in game two, you got Cole going in game three, you're facing two lefties. The Rays are starting to fall down a little bit. We'll touch on that as well. Sweep the series. You got to sweep this series. And that was the mindset that I had going into last night. And, of course, tonight now they're set up to do so. But it's time to just start stringing wins along or adding wins to the bulletin board, whatever you want to say. Stack up wins, especially against teams you're supposed to beat, which, you know, contrary to popular belief, the Yankees haven't always done that this year. Everybody says, oh, the record against 500 teams. Well, we haven't really played that many 500 teams. That's not our fault. The American League is very thin. We know that. But also, you know, the Yankees struggles. It's not a thing where, oh, you play the Brewers and Yankees get exposed, it can't beat good teams. Well, no, they were not beating the Orioles. They, were losing some games in unfortunate ways. It wasn't a thing, good team, bad team. The Yankees just weren't playing well. Now, one good game against Kansas City, who is really struggling right now, both offensively and on the pitching side of things, obviously doesn't change things. But nonetheless, these are games you have to win. And that includes tonight with Cole going up against, we're facing Noah Cameron, which we'll preview that game. But just to let you know, we put 7 runs up against him at the stadium in the middle of April. So you got to sweep this series tonight. And then you got the A's this weekend, which that's not a series you go into saying you should sweep. But with all this in mind, like, I don't fear the Rays. And you guys know the way I view them as, at least AL East-wise, division opponent-wise, not playoff contender-wise, but they're fraudulent is the way I see it. I have the Yankees winning the AL East by at least 5-plus games. And I said that after Friday night's loss. You got to eventually start doing it. And this should be the stretch where the Yankees do start, indeed, doing it. Last night was fantastic. Some other notes, just individually, and this is really where I get excited, because no matter what, I kind of knew the Yankees at some point would, you know, go on a run, which I'm sure we all did, whether you believe in this team or not. I do believe in this team very much so. Improvements need to be made, but the deadline is a thing, and that will come here, and we'll improve the bullpen and hopefully get a righty platoon catcher to pair with Wells. Maybe something else. Who knows? But anyways, I just like seeing the stats individually go up. I mean, even just from a batting average perspective, last night gets Grisham finally over the 200 hump. And he's been hitting the ball really well as of late, really hitting the ball well all season, but now he's finally getting some better luck, getting results. He's been hot over the last week or so. Bellinger, his OPS jumps up to 876. Now, he's kind of been right around there almost all season. He had been struggling a little bit lately. But like Jazz, we've talked a lot about his struggles this season, but what we're always going to do here is give credit where it's due, and conversations can fade into the abyss where, you know, a week or two ago, we were discussing the Buster Olney report with Jazz Chisholm Jr. and how he at least was speculating, given the Yankees' urgency this year, which we always push back on, it's more so they have more options this year to be able to be urgent with, but he was speculating that the Yankees didn't see more out of Jazz offensively, they could make a change internally or externally, so we covered that, we talked about that, and of course, I'm not going to lie, the idea that did get me excited, Jazz wasn't hitting. I know Jazz eventually could turn it around, and we'll see if this continues, but over the last 30 games, he absolutely has. He's been incredible, to be honest. You look at the last 30 games, he's hitting over 300. His OPS is above 900. He's still not hitting for crazy power, did have the home run last night, but Jazz has been a damn good ball player over the last month or so. And, you know, Jimmy, talking Yanks, of course, John Boy has talked about this a lot. We talked about it, well, he was more so bringing it up to me on Talking Yanks last week about the bat change that he made. And, of course, you know, all the, and everybody knows there's no actual correlation between the Giancarlo Stanton pants and the way Jazz is playing, although he damn sure does look like a ball player. It's a great look. But Jimmy was really emphasizing the difference that using Caballero's bat has made. And I don't like to play hitting coach. I don't really feel like it's my place. But results are results. It is working for him. And now it's over a nice sample size with Jazz. Again, over 30 games, OPS in his last 30 is above 900. And he's playing really well. His batting average is now higher than it was last year. 246 he's hitting. Last year he hit 242. Now, there's a big difference in the OPS. But even so, compared to where Jazz was at, last night's game helped. It's not just last night's game, but he's up to a 724 on the season. So all of a sudden, not so much seasons saved for guys, but I kind of look at it like the foundation is there to where, with the way I believe in Trent Grisham and to a lesser degree, but know what he can be in Jazz Chisholm Jr., the foundation is there for them. If they just play well the rest of the season, they will end up having numbers they like come season's end. So Jazz, he's kind of back to, like, even, I was going to say base level, he's past base level. Like, Jazz is now above a league average WRC+. Grisham is now above a league average WRC+. And again, just pulling up this tweet from Grayson right here. One of the many benefits of a game like last night, which you'll need games like this, is just the individual stat increase. And you look at the lineup, when we see it tonight, the OPSs will be looking a lot better. And I know, you know, for a lot of guys, a lot of fans, and I understand this, seeing a batting average go from 180 to 201 isn't exactly going to float your boat. But still, there is just something aesthetically about not seeing, besides Austin Wells, who despite his 3-for-6 is still hitting 181. You know, you look at the lineup, it looks less pathetic when you have some OPSs above 700 and not three batting averages below 200. So one of the many benefits is that from last night, but also just taking care of business, doing what you got to do. And that's what, with the way the Kansas City Royals are looking, no disrespect to them, I like a lot of the guys on that team. Of course, you know, Vinny Pasquantino, I know personally. And, you know, Bobby Witt, nothing against him. And I don't even got to say this right now, obviously, who gives a shit? I know. But more so, like, the Royals are just unfortunately a team that is a bad team right now. And you got to beat up on bad teams, whether it be like this or just not losing games you shouldn't lose. Like, Monday was an example of that, and they didn't. They won that game. Cool. Last night, awesome. You got to take care of business tonight as well, which, yeah, Gerrit Cole in the bump. I'm excited. You got a 7:40 first pitch. We'll preview that game, you know, a little bit more. A couple minutes we'll spend on that. But that was an awesome win last night. It was a fun win last night. We were chilling in the watch party. Like, it was just, and I know even those that, you know, don't always tune into the watch party, which is totally fine. You know, to each their own, I understand. You just get to watch last night's game, have it on, maybe be, you know, casually watching compared to, you know, stressful, edgier seat. It was nice just to be able to watch a game. Like, we were all talking in the chat, just kicking with the homies, enjoying the vibes. And obviously, New York sports is a pretty good vibes, pretty good vibe going on right now. New York Mets aside, who they're now 11 games under 500. I guess that series finale win against us didn't really turn things around much, huh? But anyways, just overall speaking on last night's game, fantastic. The Yankees have now won 13 straight games against the Royals dating back to the 2024 ALDS. And yeah, those stats are pretty crazy. 24 hits, the most they've ever had, or the most they've had in a road game since 1974. And all nine starters recording at least two hits, first time ever in franchise history. Pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. Now, last thing on this before we move on. Some people may say, well, this is classic Yankees. They bludgeon the bad teams to death. I hear you on that. But I've now seen countless times this season where the Yankees, remember, they lead the American League in comeback victories, ninth inning comeback victories. They have, believe it or not, you may forget, put up numbers against really good pitchers. Dylan Cease, we just saw last week, they put up five runs against him. Jacob DeGrom, we saw six earned runs they put up against him. His previous start against DeGrom, the week prior, they only scored, I think, one or so runs, but they worked good at bats, got him out of the game, got to the Rangers' bullpen. The Yankees have won games many times this year, and there's been countless examples of this team providing more reasons to me to have faith in what they can be and what they will be post-trade deadline. So, you know, it's not a thing where, you know, it's one thing if, you know, an offense like the Mets, not to be picking on them, I really don't even mean to do this, but the Mets have one good game and it's like, oh, are we back? and then it goes right back down to shit. The Yankees, the offense has been very much empty lately, but that should not be the case. This is a good offense, while maybe can be improved, and I defend Trent Grisham, and I'm a Trent Grisham guy, and for right now, I stand by him hitting leadoff. I understand some pushback on, like, ideally the Yankees would have another leadoff hitter, and ideally Austin Wells wasn't hitting 181. But ultimately, if you get Jazz starting to go, and obviously we know Judge is going to turn around. Good to see Rice have a three-hit day yesterday, too. We're going to get Stanton back. Like, this offense should be more than good enough in general, even with a black hole like Austin Wells. You can afford one black hole in the lineup. And right now, Austin Wells certainly is that. And hopefully that'll be fixed as well by bringing in, like, a, once he's healthy, Ryan Jeffers or some sort of a righty platoon. We'll touch on that, of course, you know, more and more as the months go on. But the offense should be good enough as a whole as it is. So it's exciting to see a day like this. But also, especially with the starting pitching that we have, which just continues to excel, we're in a different place if we can just be a little bit more than competent offensively. And I'll tell you, this lineup is going to be way more than competent offensively. It may not be the 98 Yankees, or the 27 Yankees, the best offense we've ever seen, or even for recent comparisons, the 2019 offense. But it's not a situation where we have to rely on home runs every single game in the postseason, because this team can, one, win games without the home run. A lot of runs were scored last night without going deep. We also did hit a few homers, but there could be a time where, all right, the offense does only score two or three runs in a postseason game. Is that ideal? No, but that's going to happen. That'll happen to the Dodgers, too. We're better suited to be able to handle that, because our starting rotation is clearly showing us that they can give us, on a night-out, night-in basis, one run, two runs, three feels like a bad night. And last night, speaking of the pitching, Cam, seventh game, he wins. He goes a very casual six innings. It was a six-inning game, one earned run, taken out after just 77 pitches, which was a smart play because, of course, Yankees are monitoring his innings. He's headed for a career high in innings this year. And, you know, you don't want to ever go the route of what the Nationals did with Steven Strasburg in 2012, where they just completely shut him down. They don't have him for the postseason. No world that would happen, but the Yankees do want to monitor his innings. And when you're up, at least at that time, it was what, like 10-1? Cam gets through six, goes one run. He was terrific, and then the Yankees took him out. And why not? That was the way to go. He now 7-2 on the season, 1.50 ERA, 0.85 whip. His, as we mentioned before, that's 1.50 ERA. This is per Katie Sharp. Second lowest ERA through 12 starts by any Yankee pitcher. And that goes back to 1914. Ray Caldwell had a 1.46. Cam leads baseball in ERA. His whip lowered last night. He entered the game with a 0.86. Now it's down to a 0.85. And, you know, we're already here. But as, you know, more and more starts keep piling up for him, we're 12 games in, it's very much real that we're looking at the front runner as we currently speak to win the American League Cy Young Award. I mean, this is real. This is happening. Obviously, things can change. But I don't foresee it changing. Now, obviously, health's a question here, of course. So far, so good. Knock on wood. But, you know, not to put anything weird into the air, I saw a tweet last night talking about how great Cam Schlittler is. And he's like, the only question, or like, fingers crossed, he just stays healthy. Which, absolutely, that's what I just said myself. Over his 6 years of control, there is a chance Cam Schlittler and any Yankee pitcher will have some sort of an arm injury. That's just how it goes. That is the case for whatever team signs Tarek Skubal this offseason. Which, by the way, I think Thursday, the off day tomorrow, we will finally touch on some possible, like, Skubal trade scenario because there's rumors going around. We'll touch on that tomorrow's off day. But it's almost inevitable for a pitcher to get hurt. So the way I see it almost is, well, I'm not banking on a Cam injury anytime soon. And this is a weird conversation to have. I know people are like, Dan, don't put this on the air. I'm saying this from the same sort of, you know what's going to happen? Okay, out of 6 years of control or a long-term deal, like Garrett Cole, we have a nine-year deal, you lost one of those years to Tommy John. I'm sure, forget Cam, Warren, any of these pitchers, any pitcher you get 1 year out of the 6 years of control or eight-year deal you sign them to, they're going to miss some significant amount of time, whether it be TJ or some sort of other injury misses them half a year. But when he's not hurt, when he is healthy, who are they? And right now we're seeing the best pitcher in the American League, far and away, in Cam Schlittler. So that continues last night. And again, a very casual six innings pitch, just you don't even notice it. And it's not just because the Yankees, the offense they put up, it's so matter of fact, he just goes out there, does his thing, and what his thing is just constantly at the least six innings, one run, if not six innings shut, seven innings shut. And he'll consistently put himself in a spot, last night being the same, if they needed him to pitch into the seventh inning. And that's often, you know, what many people consider to be like the line of demarcation about an ace is, are you pitching me consistently into the seventh inning? And Cam, every single start is in a spot where he can do that. And he is doing that. So, I mean, what else can you say? We'll just continue to monitor the situation, but it's a good situation to monitor because it's fascinating what he's been doing. But all right, let's talk Anthony Volpe, because this is something that, listen, we will continue to view this fairly. Now, clearly, I am a fan of Anthony Volpe, and I find myself realizing that more and more each time he finds success. Maybe it's the classic underdog story, tales all this time. We like to, they always say, build people up to break them down to see, and then see the comeback. Whatever. But clearly, I have an extra rooting interest for Anthony Volpe, and while we're currently sitting here an 894 OPS through 10 games, we are going to talk about this. We'll also talk about it when, you know, at some point, like anybody else, like Judge, he'll inevitably struggle. We'll try not to overact. But, like, if 10 games from now that OPS is down below 800, below, like, we'll talk about that then, too. But, you know, to do a daily show, you know, this is the storyline as we have. This is all we have right now. All I have right now is an 894 OPS through 10 games. And let's hear from Volpe yesterday. And I know we all saw the home run. I'm sure you guys have replayed this home run a few times like I have. The swing itself is why we're talking about this today, because now that I've seen him go deep while maintaining that level swing, and you guys know I don't like to play hitting coach. I don't, but it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the clear difference here. We saw it from the get-go, the level swing, not swinging out of his shoes. There was one game where he did kind of get big, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. Last night we saw him go deep with the most composed and, to be honest, beautiful swing I may have seen Anthony Volpe ever take in his big league career. Here's Volpe last night, first home run of the year.
Volpe charges that into left center field and deep. Is Bell going to watch it fly? Anthony Volpe.
I'm just trying to get pitches I could drive and handle and put a good swing on it. We've obviously been working a lot, so that's all I could do.
What does it mean to you to know that you're helping this team win ball games right now?
Yeah, it's everything.
And again, for right now, this is what we got to go off, 894 OPS over 10 games. So he's hitting 281, Volpe is now, after last night's three-hit night. And the OBP is above 400. The at-bats, we know, have looked way better. That swing, though, last night on that home run, again, the most impressive swing I think I've ever seen him take. So I'm just trying to pull up his overall stats here. Yeah, 281 average he's up to now, 425 OBP, 7 RBIs so far on the season for Volpe, and it's fascinating for many reasons. We'll get into the latter one in just a second here, but just in the short term, looking at how this works with this team, we saw the other day Caballero play third, Volpe at short. Last night, Caballero didn't start. We saw Volpe stay at short. Tonight's going to be interesting because you're facing another lefty. I would like to think he's wanting to get Caballero back in there. They should want to get Caballero back in there. But they also probably want to keep Ahmed Rosario in there, I would figure. No doubt, right? I mean, you're facing a lefty and he raked last night. That's what he, even if he didn't rake last night, you'd want Rosario in there. What they could do is, if you notice, Caballero did get in the game last night as the left fielder. I would not be shocked if tonight is our first instance of Volpe, Caballero, and Rosario all in the lineup, where you have Volpe at short, Rosario at third, Caballero in left. I think that's what the Yankees may do tonight. But nonetheless, Volpe has made that a conversation to where not only are we going to see that happen and you can't, you know, be upset about it, you almost, when speculating about the lineup tonight like we're doing right now, you almost kind of, if you're writing down the 1-9 what you want it to be, you kind of pencil it around that thought of, I want Volpe in there. And as of right now, again, all we have to operate is what we're seeing at this current moment. If the situation changes, which one way or another it obviously will, for better or for worse, sustainability or unsustainability, for right now, I want to see Anthony Volpe in the lineup tonight. And I want to see Jose Caballero in the lineup tonight. I want to see Ahmed Rosario in the lineup tonight. This is just further conversation and then some about the Yankees having options and things very much not entirely working out. You know, Austin Wells is hitting 180. We know that. But this is, honestly, this is fascinating what Volpe is doing. And it is, to me, the biggest individual storyline going right now on this team, what Volpe's doing. And it's not just the stats, because we've seen him have good 10-game stretches before, but even if you're a Volpe hater, you got to acknowledge, in the comments, please do it. You can say it. I am a Volpe hater. I admit that. I will acknowledge this swing looks good. how could you not? I mean, that's that home run last night was, and he's been going the opposite field. His third hit of the game was a, maybe it was a second, I don't know, but double to right center field. He's been going the opposite way. We've seen him come up big in clutch spots. The defense, no issue there. That remains. So that's awesome. What I want to get into now is this. I have a graphic to pull up because something I always preach, and it's the principle of it is correct, and that's that nothing is guaranteed. Everything changes, and baseball is very much a part of that. It resembles life very similarly, or nothing is ever on the same similar plane. We talked about that with running it back. Like, the odds of everything transpiring the exact same way it did last year are not just slim, it's impossible, obviously. Just like with the Blue Jays, everything working out their way, and then winning 94 games, everything transpiring identically to how it did last year on our end, their end, baseball's end, in general life, that was never going to happen. Players can get worse, players can get better, teams can regress, teams can whatever. With Volpe, I think something we should keep in mind, if you'll allow me, he's only 24. He would not be the first late bloomer to ever exist in Major League Baseball. And again, just for right now, while we can talk about this, we're leaning optimistic right now. I think he just put up 15 runs. So that's what this show is about. This is an optimistic standpoint. Why do I have Cam's thing up? Sorry.
I gave him.
There we go. Apologies. Anyways, Dansby Swanson. I want to show you this graphic that I made last night comparing the first 3 years of Dansby Swanson's career to Anthony Volpe's career. So just to put it simply, for those listening on audio only, Dansby Swanson, former, I believe he was a first overall pick, but very highly touted prospect, of course, ended up going on to get a big deal in free agency with the Cubs a couple years ago. He's currently their shortstop, but he was a very highly touted prospect, just like Volpe. While Swanson was the number one prospect in baseball at the time of his call-up, Volpe was like the number five, very high, very similar. OPS Plus in their first three MLB seasons. So for Dansby, this is his first full three seasons, 2017 to 2019. For Volpe, this is 2023 through last year, 2025. First three seasons of the big leagues, OPS Plus. Dansby Swanson, 81. Anthony Volpe, 83. You look at the average compared to the on-base, the slugging. Volpe, first 3 years, 222 hitter. Dansby, 240 hitter. OBP, Swanson, 314. Volpe, 283. Slugging, Dansby, 380. Volpe, 379. Now, there's some things that still stand out there that average-wise, Dansby has been better than Volpe, or had been in the first 3 years. OBP-wise, same. Slugging, pretty similar. WAR, though, Volpe, 8.4 WAR to Dansby's 3.1 WAR. Bottom line, though, more so here is the point. Overall offensive output, overall offensive production compared to league average. Volpe, 83 OPS plus. Dansby Swanson, 81 OPS plus in their first three seasons. The reason, of course, I bring this up is because Dansby Swanson went on to, while first 3 years being a very, really a massive disappointment across the board, but we're going offensively here, he ended up being a 6-WAR shortstop, a shortstop that put up 20-plus homer seasons while still hitting 270, having OPSs near 800. Again, seasons above a 5-WAR, and that came on beginning really in his fourth season, where, you know, the first 3 years was a big disappointment, just like Volpe, former top prospect, very highly touted, and is a well-below league average hitter offensively. That's what Dansby was his first 3 years. That's what Volpe has been his first 3 years. Am I saying going to be the exact same trajectory? No, of course not. That's a near impossibility. But just to know that, obviously, a reminder more so, because we do know this, but a reminder to keep in mind that late bloomers exist. Volpe's just 24. The talent we know is there. That's never really been the issue. He's a top-rated prospect for a reason. Scouts aren't totally clueless, but there's so much more that goes into it than just talent. It could be circumstances. It could be mental development. It could be just lack of proper fundamentals, whatever it may be. We know the talent is there for Volpe. So what if, just what if he's finally putting it all together right now? And that's what Dansby ended up doing, where, again, he ended up getting a, I don't know the exact terms, but it was like a $150-plus million deal with Chicago Cubs. Now, I'm not looking to give Volpe that money anytime soon, but if a situation arises where at some point when he's a free agent, all of a sudden the team's looking to give him that, well, that means things all of a sudden in the second half of his contractual control with the Yankees turned out pretty good. And 10 games in right now, and I understand it's just 10 games. That's all we have to go off of it with this new Anthony Volpe. We'll see where it leads us. He looks like a dramatically different ball player. We've seen the swing, which is the most promising thing of all this, much more level, much more composed, not swinging out of his shoes. Plate discipline massively improved so far, at least. A lot of, even last night, laying off the breaking pitches away, the game on Monday where he tied it up, or go ahead two-run single, I mean. He, again, there was a really good example of him laying off a breaking pitch that previously was like his Achilles heel back in the day. He laid off it. Another one of those last night. Plate discipline has improved. The swing has improved. We saw that one game of him causing havoc on the base pass where he, you know, ends up coming home in that great slide. The defense has been no issue. 10 games in, Volpe has been a good player for the Yankees. So with that in mind, 15 runs scored last night, 3 games won in a row. Like, I do lean optimistic. So I always kind of say this, but reminder, if you don't like the way I roll when it comes to optimism and all that, which, reminder too, I also do call it like I see it. Like, I tweak when the Yankees do bad. We've called about the, talked about the bullpen, all the issues with this team. But I do lean optimistic. There's a lot of negative outputs out there for Yankee fans. If you want that, if you need that, by all means, they exist. There's plenty more of them than there are me, if that makes sense. So this is what I do. I see things optimistically. I see things glass half full. And I'm especially going to do so coming off of last night's win. And 10 games in, a Volpe doing what he's doing, it interests me, this conversation. And just comparing him to Dansby Swanson, not, again, laying out a trajectory that's going to be identical by any means. Volpe could go back to what he's been. This could be nothing. And if you want to say it is nothing, you are more within your rights to do so, I think, than I am. But this is what the situation is right now. 10 games in, Volpe looks like a different player. And knowing that late bloomers exist, Dansby Swanson being another great example, another look at this graphic. First 3 seasons, Dansby Swanson was an 81 OPS plus bat. He went on to have multiple seasons above being a league average hitter, multiple seasons of 20-plus homers while hitting 270, OPSs near or above 800, 6 WAR seasons at shortstop. Am I saying Volpe's going to be there? No. Am I saying it's possible? Absolutely. And it's fascinating. That even aside, just what he's doing right now, it is, I think, the biggest story going on with this team as we currently speak. The resurgence, if you will, of Anthony Volpe, the renaissance. And I feel like such a sheep, yo, because they always say, like the line we just mentioned before, like the classic American story, like the build them up, then tear them down. Like, we all are so obsessed with the comeback. We've always been that way. I mean, that's probably why I was so maybe gravitated towards A-Rod when I was a kid and I didn't even know about it. Like, I always just, I'm not comparing Volpe to A-Rod here, even in terms of badassery, but there was always something about A-Rod to me. Like, growing up, I was just so drawn to him. Like, everything he did, I was like, I'm like obsessed with it. Like, I crave seeing what the next thing's going to be that A-Rod does. The reason I bring this up is because it probably was mentally in the back of my mind, like, he's the comeback story. He's, you know, the guy that everybody roots against. I want to see him do well. Maybe just, that's a slight sliver. I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm falling into that with Volpe here where, well, I'm not going to pretend that I was any bit as negative towards Volpe as others were. And there's nothing wrong with being negative about Volpe, but I think something we should also keep in mind, even in general going forward, is it's not his fault. It's the Yankees' fault. If you have an issue with Volpe as a starting shortstop, don't take it out on him. You could say whatever. I mean, I don't like saying this player sucks, that player sucks. Like, I just don't like talking about players that way unless they don't show effort. That's a different story. But the Yankees are the ones that chose not to sign Corey Seager. The Yankees are the ones that let him stay the position possibly for way too long. Blame them. Don't blame Volpe. And I know we're all ultimately rooting for him. I've seen that over the last couple of days. Like, credit where it's due. Yankee fans, whether it be with wanting Kyle Tucker and being upset we got Bellinger, to once we get Bellinger back and he's doing well, it's like, Belly, I apologize. I was wrong. I'm glad to have you back. And I'll do that too. Like, what did I just say the other day? You know, like, I want to make sure I constantly remind you guys that I wanted the Yankees more. I was pissed when Freddie Peralta was dealt to the Mets and I was like, you should have just traded Lombard for him. That was me being irrational. That was me being dumb. And I want to constantly remind you guys that I said that so you know, like, I fall victim to that sort of thing too. But with Volpe, like, how could you not root for this dude right now? Obviously, I think we're all on the same page there. But don't hate Volpe. Hate the Yankees for letting him stay at the position for too long. Hate the Yankees for not going out and getting Corey Seager. With all that in mind, all that's done. All that's in the past. Everything that we talked about, have complained about, discuss with Volpe is already set in stone. That's not changing. The first 3 years aren't going away. What could change is what the future holds for Volpe. And at least 10 games in here, I'm actually starting to think about the possibilities of that future. So, fascinating. Very fascinating. That was probably my favorite moment out of yesterday's game was the that Volpe home run. What a game last night was, yo. Like, you really needed that. The team needed that. The fans needed that. And I'm feeling pretty good going into tonight. And a big reason also why I'm feeling good, Chad, is, of course, the Yankees have now gained 3 games. 3 games they've gained on the Rays in 3 days. So there was a stat, I think Talking Yanks put it out yesterday. It was, So entering the weekend, the Yankees had gone 32 straight days without winning on a day where the Rays lost. 32 straight days Yankees went without winning on a day where the Rays lost. They've now done that 3 days in a row. The Rays have lost three straight. The Yankees have won three straight. And with that, all of a sudden, 2.5-game deficit. We enter play today, 2.5 games back of the Rays for first place in the American League East. And listen, I don't want to do a repeat of yesterday's segment, but I do want to emphasize just the point of, and I'll never continue to say this as a way of like, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. I couldn't care less about that crap. That's never what this is about. I care about one thing, and that's the Yankees. It reminds me a little bit of Chris Rose after the Judge game last year against Toronto. I was jokingly being a shill, which I always am an extra shill around like non-Yankee fans to be annoying. And I was saying to Rose, big game Rodon today. Like, I don't even know what that means. I just said it. And then the Yankees go on to win that game thanks to Judge tying it up, but Rodon was ass. I'm talking about game three of the ALDS. And the next morning, Rose's first thing he says to me is like, big game Rodon, huh? And I'm like, well, I don't give a shit. Yankees won. He's like, yeah, well, you were wrong. I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's not ever about me being right because that's how you get ego involved. No, there's no ego here, at least in regards to my takes. But point is, I think he's going to win the AL East by more than 5 games. Said that after Friday when we lost against them. Said that yesterday. And we're 2.5 games back. And I'll tell you, it was bound to happen. Even if the Rays truly were legitimately as great as they've been, which obviously they're not, nowhere near that. I think they're a playoff contender, no doubt. No doubt about that, especially in this American League. I think the Rays, though, are more of like an 87, 88 win team. Even if they were truly a 95, 100 win team, a slump like this was inevitable, just like it will be with the Dodgers and with us. You got to take advantage of those slumps with a team that you're chasing. And right now the Yankees are doing that. Not even to call this like a slump per se with the Rays, but just with how I feel about them and what I believe them to be as a team. I look at these three losses and even seeing the way we faced them, played them this weekend. Granted, it was at Yankee Stadium. We're a way better team at home than we are on the road, just like them at the Trop. They're great. Actually, I don't have the stats to back that up. That's just my guess. I assume the Rays are pretty damn good at the Trop. I know they swept us there, but watching them and knowing Nick Martinez has been great. He has the second best ERA in baseball at a 1.51. Be honest with me. Did you watch Nick Martinez on Friday and think that is a 1.5 ERA pitcher? Excuse me. Did you watch Nick Martinez Friday and think he was a 2.5 ERA pitcher? He might be a sub-4. Not a lot of strikeouts, and you could be a good pitcher without a lot of strikeouts. We've seen that countless times and times again. The Yankees, when they're not cold, I think will lay a proper you-know-what on Nick Martinez when they're not cold offensively, and most teams in baseball will. That's just one thing. I'm not trying to pick on Nick Martinez, but the running game, the Yankees kind of shut that down this weekend against the Rays. I know we only played 2 games. Their offense, they got Junior Caminero, Chandler Simpson. He's a runner. I don't think he's all that great. I just don't. Caminero, I do think, is great. Yandy Diaz, he is great. Rays have some good players, and their pitchers are good. Don't get me wrong. They have good pitching. But I guess my point is more so here. Obviously, no matter what, the pace that they were playing at was never sustainable. And we talked about this yesterday, too, that what do you believe in more? At the time, entering yesterday, Yankees were at a 96-win pace. Rays were at like a 105 to 110 win pace. I don't even know. What do you think is more sustainable going forward? The Yankees' 96-win pace or what the Rays were doing? And obviously, there's a head start in this case. The Rays did get off to the great, amazing start they got off to. I'm rambling now, I know. But my point is, the Yankees are a better team than the Rays. That's my point. And there's a lot of baseball left, and I may only need 2 weeks, Chet. I hope you guys don't hear that. I think they're doing construction at this place. Do you guys hear that? It's annoying. Anyways, we're almost done here anyways. But 3 games made up in 3 days against the Rays. And Toronto is starting to win some games again. I still look at them as the far more worthwhile contender to quote-unquote worry about long-term. But yeah, we're going to get out of here in just a minute with that. But all that noise in the background, I apologize for that. They're always doing something here, yo. There's always some sort of construction going on. Anyways, yeah, 3 games made up in 3 days. Yankees enter play today, 2.5 back of Tampa Bay for first place in the East. With all that noise going on in the background, I think that'll just about wrap up the show. But of course, going for the series sweep tonight in Kansas City, it'll be Cole on the bump versus lefty Noah Cameron. 7:40 first pitch on Amazon Prime. And then we'll be off tomorrow before heading to Sacramento for 3 against the A's. Those games, Friday night and Saturday, are late. 9:40 first pitch on Friday, 10 o'clock first pitch on Saturday. I think we'll be live for both those games on the watch party. Nonetheless, though, live tonight for the series finale against Kansas City, live tomorrow morning with the Morning Yankee Show. And again, off day tomorrow, we'll touch a little bit on the Scooble stuff. I cannot believe they do it every single day, yo. God, I'm a much more calm dude nowadays, chat, but that wants me to bring out, like, 2021 Dar. That whack-ass shit. But no, that's going to do it for this episode. I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Reminder to click like on the stream if you have not already. Otherwise, that is all I got. Game 3 tonight. See you guys then for the watch party. Until then, though, have a great Wednesday. And, yeah, that's all I got, y'all. See you guys later tonight. Let's go, Yanks.